Well, amen. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful song. God bless the USA. And I know that is our prayer and our desire this morning, but we have to also be reminded as God's people, the key to God blessing us is in being the kind of people that God can bless. And that's what I believe the Lord would speak to us about this morning as we look to God's Word together. We're going to take a break from Romans and Lord willing, be back in it next week as we'll start chapter 16 and have a few messages to go in the book of Romans. But this being the Sunday before July the 4th, I just kind of felt like we needed to allow the Lord to speak to us about His blessings and where we're at as the life of our nation and our need of Him. And so I was reminded this past week of the song that Isaiah is singing in our text that Brother David read for us this morning. In fact, I was afraid he was going to go ahead and preach my message for me this morning, but I think he did really good in preparing us for what the Lord has to say for us and to us this morning. See, in our text, we hear the prophet Isaiah, he's singing a sad song about the great nation of Israel. And this weekend, being July 4th weekend, as we're preparing and celebrating the birth of our nation, I believe this morning we would do well to hear and to heed the words and the warnings that we find here in this song in God's Word. And so this morning, I want us to think on this subject, a sad song about a great nation. A sad song about a great nation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as always, we want to praise You today and worship You. You are our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. And Father, as we've come here to worship You today, again, we thank You for the freedom that we have to do that and for Your blessings upon us and allowing us to live in a nation where we have been free, Lord, to worship You. Father, this morning we ask, as always, that You'll remove any hindering forces of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that God, You'd cleanse our hearts and clear our minds, and Lord, just help us to be still, to know Your God, and to hear You speak. Lord, as we've read Your Word, we ask now for the Holy Spirit of God to anoint the messenger and to anoint and illuminate our minds and our hearts that we might receive, God, Your Word, and to have our hearts and homes and lives transformed by it, Father. Lord, I pray that You'll be glorified here today, that Your Word will go forth, that You'll accomplish, Lord, what You send it forth to do in our hearts and homes, that, Father, You might accomplish a great work through us as Your people that would truly touch this community and Lord, would spread throughout Your church and throughout this great nation, that, Lord, we would truly return to You. Father, I just want to thank You again for the privilege to preach Your Word today, and I ask You to hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Free me to preach what thus saith the Word of God. And Lord, we'll be careful as always to give You the glory and honor and praise for what You accomplish, Lord, in it today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll notice in the first half of verse 1 in Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard." In chapter 5, Isaiah begins singing this song about a man and his vineyard. Now, this song is sang in the form of a parable. In other words, it tells a story. You know, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used those quite often in His teaching ministry, and we find them used in the Old Testament as well. Here, it's told as a song. It's a song about a man who had a vineyard, and he did everything that he could to ensure that his vineyard would produce good grapes, and yet in the end, it produced wild grapes. You see, that man is Jehovah God. That vineyard was the nation and the people of Israel. It's a song about the works of God's grace in the nation of Israel. And yet the wild grapes that were produced from this chosen nation and people of God. And then it becomes sad as the wrath of God is declared and proclaimed at the end of this song. You see, today, this song, I believe, applies to every nation and to any nation that God has blessed, and yet we turn from Him and we refuse to live in obedience to Him. It is a song, a sad song, about a great nation. And I believe it applies to this great nation today. We celebrate the birth of our nation. And I believe everyone here this morning would agree with me and acknowledge that this nation was founded and blessed by the works of God's grace in our lives. But yet, folks, as we look around today, the sad spiritual condition of our nation, we can't help but acknowledge that what we're producing today is wild grapes, bad grapes, sour grapes. And just as this song proclaims a judgment and a wrath of God upon a nation that would produce such grapes, we must hear that word and heed that word this morning. In fact, we need to recognize this morning, folks, we are not facing God's judgment as a nation, as a people. We are already experiencing those works of God's judgment in our lives. You see, in the days and times in which we are living, now as never before as a nation, as a people, it's time we looked up and returned to God. It's time we humbled ourselves in repentance. It's time that we return to being a nation that honors God and honors what thus saith the Word of God. And it all has to begin, folks, in our lives as God's people. It has to begin with God's house. And so may the Lord speak to our hearts this morning from this sad song about a great nation. Folks, you know, the thing about Israel, the song has been fully written. We know the ending of that song, but when it comes to America today, that song is not yet fully written. It remains to be seen today whether this sad song is going to have a happy ending to it. And I believe with all my heart that it can. I believe there's hope today for America, because it's the hope of Jesus and it's the hope of the gospel that we look to. And it all depends how we as God's people respond in these days and how we allow God and His grace and His works to be accomplished in and through our lives. See, I believe we can have a happy ending to this sad song. But folks, let's look at this song this morning and let's think about how this song, sung of Israel, could be the same song that is sung of America. I see three things in these verses of our text this morning. First of all, this is a song about the works of grace in the life of a great nation. In verse 1 again, he says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." See, the well-beloved, of course, is Jehovah God. The vineyard, again, is the nation of Israel. Isaiah, he sang this song to his well-beloved about his beloved's vineyard, the nation of Israel. It's a song about God's grace and His works in the life of this nation, this people by the name of Israel. We can't help but acknowledge, as Brother David's already pointed out, you read this passage, you can't help but acknowledge that we as a nation are a people that have experienced the works of God's grace in our lives. Israel's a great nation, was a great nation in the time of this writing and this preaching and prophecy of Isaiah. America is a great nation. We've been a great nation for many years. The world has looked to us, and yet the truth this morning is this. It's never been because of our works. It's never been because of our intelligence. It's never been because of our might. It's always been because of God's grace that we have been the nation that we have been. You see, in this song, he speaks about Israel as his vineyard, his vine. And we see the vision that he had for his vineyard and his vine. It was all a work of grace, what God done in the nation of Israel. And folks, this morning, I believe with all my heart, God, when he blessed us as a nation, he sees America as his vineyard, that he has planted us as a choice vine, and that he has a vision. He's always had a vision for this nation and for us as a people in the midst of this world. I mean, think about it. He says there that he placed her on a very fruitful hill. Israel began its life as a nation, as a people, in the promised land. A land that was flowing with milk and honey. America today, we've been so blessed. We've been known as the breadbasket of the world. We produce food to not only feed ourselves, but to feed many others in other nations and among other people. We can't deny today his works of grace. He blessed this nation. We've been placed on a fruitful hill. But did you notice also it said this man who owned the vineyard, he also fenced it in. He built a wall. He built a hedge of protection about his vineyard to separate it, to keep it safe from thieves and from animals and from those that would come in and destroy the vineyard. Folks, in the nation of Israel, that fence was the law of God. He gave them the laws. It was a hedge of protection for them. It would provide them separation from the world as they lived in obedience to it in their covenant relationship with God. It would provide them blessing and safety as Moses declared that you keep these words and God will bless you, but if you disobey, it'll bring death, it'll bring cursing. He literally fenced in Israel with his word and simply said, if you will obey and keep my commandments, you will be blessed, you will be saved. Folks, I believe today that same hedge of protection was placed around America. We've begun as a nation with a religious heritage. This nation was founded as pilgrims came to this place seeking a place to worship God, seeking to proclaim the gospel and live according to the gospel. We have a religious heritage. We began as a nation, as a people that basically wanted to seek God, to worship God, and to experience the blessings of God in their lives. It's interesting when you look at history. When folks began to try and settle South America, they came seeking gold and they sought to find gold. And now in America today, we have been blessed with great prosperity. We began as a people that sought God. And in South America today, you have nothing but third world countries living in poverty. You see, there's a difference when a nation is surrounded and protected by the hedge of protection of God's word. Oh, we're living in a day and time where our judges are trying to rewrite our laws, our constitution, and where our historians are trying to rewrite our history. But folks, you cannot deny anybody with any sincere knowledge of the history of this nation. It cannot be denied. We began as a Christian nation based upon what thus saith the word of God. God fenced us around with a holy hedge of protection. Notice what it also said about this man and his vineyard. He gathered the stones out of it. In other words, he removed everything in the ground that would hinder the plant, the vine, from taking root, that would hinder the soil from being fertile, that would allow this vine to take root, to produce, and to bring forth grapes. He removed everything. You remember when God began to lead the people of Israel into Canaan land through the ministry of Joshua, how he declared they were to remove the Canaanites, they were to remove the enemies. Why? Because they worship false gods. Why? Because their worship of false gods led them into idolatry, immorality, and injustice. They were to be removed from the land so as no longer to be as stones or thorns or briars that would hinder the nation and the people of Israel. Such was the case in America, folks. I believe today our nation was founded by Christian men, moral men, who sought to put in place a constitution and to form a government that would allow those who would desire to worship God to worship Him in freedom and in liberty. Their desire was that we would be a nation and a people that would be free to worship God as we please. And therefore our nation flourished and it was blessed because it was based upon the faith that we had in God and the fear that we had of Him in His Word. And yet the sad truth is, as a nation and as a people, we have forsaken that religious heritage. We now have become a nation that sees itself as free to worship any god it pleases, and we're now experiencing the judgment and the consequences of that. See, he had a vineyard. It says that he planted it with the choicest vine. He picked the choicest of vines, of the vine that would bring forth fruit. That's what he planted in his vineyard. And that's what God did in Israel. He chose the choicest of the vine. He chose in grace a man by the name of Abraham who believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And through his lineage and through the descendants and his people, he chose this nation of Israel to be planted in his vineyard. He chose the people of Judah as the choicest vine there, so that through them they might be a witness to the world. Through them the Savior would come into the world. He chose them to be a great nation that would be a bring forth fruit and would point a world of lost people and Gentiles to the true God of heaven, that they might forsake their idols and forsake their immorality. I believe God did that same thing with America as many came seeking a place to worship God in freedom and to worship God as they please and to be able to proclaim the gospel with no fear of government intervention. I believe that was the reason this nation was founded, and God planted us as a nation, as His choice vine in the world, so that we might be a great witness and testimony to the world of the gospel of Christ and to freedom. And folks, we have a great heritage as a nation of being a nation that for so long proclaimed freedom and was a testimony to the grace of God and the glory of God and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God's grace that chose and planted Israel, just like it's God's grace that chose and planted us as a nation. Notice this man, he also had a vision. It says when he planted that choice vine, it says there in the end of verse 2 that he built a tower in the midst of it. And he also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. See, this man didn't just do all this work for nothing. He built a tower in the midst of it. Why? Because he wanted to be able to look out over it and see the beautiful vines and the blossoms and the grapes that were being produced. He saw it as to be a beautiful place. And he also had a vision of it being a place of blessing. You know why I know that? Because he put a wine press in it. He put a place where you would gather the grapes and crush the grapes so that the wine could be produced. produced from those grapes. See, he had a vision. It would be a beautiful place, a place of blessing. Oh, we just sang about America this morning. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain. Oh, truly, I believe God's vision for America was that it was to be a beautiful place. And she is and has been a beautiful place. But he also had a vision that it would be a blessing. Now, folks, I want to remind you of something when it comes to blessing, just as it took a wine press. You have to crush the grapes before the wine will flow. In other words, before there'll ever be blessing, there has to be brokenness. That's why I believe in the nation of Israel, he gave them a sacrificial system in which they would worship God, to where they would come to God's house and a sacrifice would be offered, a blood would be shed so that sins could be forgiven, so that the blessings of God's grace could flow in the life of that nation and that people. That's why I believe God also gave us His Word. And that Word tells us that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who shed His blood for us as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And God has given us His Word, and He's given us His church, the place where we gather to worship God, as a place that we can be reminded in our lives each week as we come to worship, every day as we come before the Word of God, we are confronted with our sin and the need of repentance and the need of brokenness in our lives so that we might experience the grace and the blessing of God in our lives. Folks, it's amazing today in America we have, especially in our part of the world, churches on just about every corner. And the fact is, I believe statistics say 92% of the people have at least one Bible in their homes. But you know what the problem is today? We've quit going to church and we've quit reading our Bibles. We're not reading it in the church. We're not teaching it in our schools. We're not honoring any of the courtrooms and in the halls of government in our nation anymore. And you know what that means? That means there's no longer blessing in our life. You know why? Because there's no longer brokenness in our life for our sin and our need of God's grace and forgiveness. See, this man, he had a vineyard. It was all a work of God's grace. He planted the choicest vine there, and he had a vision of it. Oh, but it's a sad song about a great nation. A sad song. The same sad song that can be sung of our nation today. Notice something else. This sad song, it's a song about wild grapes. Look what he said in verse 3 and verse 4. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." And now the song turns from being about a work of grace to wild grapes, sour grapes, grapes of unrighteousness, fruits of unrighteousness being produced. You sense the bewilderment of God as the man asks, "What more could I have done for this vineyard? Placing it in fertile ground, putting a fence around it, gathering the stones, placing the tower, giving the wine press. What more could I have done?" You sense the brokenheartedness of the man. "What more could I have done that would have enabled this vineyard to produce good grapes? What more could God have done for Israel? He chose them by grace. He delivered them by grace from Egypt. He planted them by grace in the promised land. He gave through them the scriptures and ultimately the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What more could God have done for Israel?" Can we not ask this morning, what more could not God have done for us as America, as this nation? We were blessed. We were founded by founding fathers of faith. We were given a constitution and a government that allowed us to worship God in freedom and in spirit. And that separation of church and state that people like to throw out today in our halls of government, it had nothing to do with keeping the church out of the state. It had everything to do with keeping the state out of the church so that we could worship God. What more could God have done for us? He's blessed us, and yet rather than being a nation that is grateful and thankful and honors God in our lives, we've become a nation that has forsaken God and rejected God and dishonors God with our lives. You see, there's some wild grapes that are being produced in our nation today. I think a lot of it comes from our lust for possessions. You know what? We've quit worshiping the giver, and we've started worshiping the gifts. We've started focusing on the blessings, and we have forgotten the blesser. We're living in a nation in a day where we have credit cards and we have debt and we spend more than we make so that we can have all of these things that we have in our lives and in our homes. We're living in days where states, our nation, our state, along with many others, we literally resort to legalized gambling so we can raise more revenue. We simply want the blessings. In fact, we're willing to sacrifice children in the wombs of their mothers so that we can afford the Hummers and the BMWs and the nice houses and homes that we want to have. We have doctors who will kill babies just so they can have those nice homes and those nice cars and those things that we treasure in this world and in this life. And many times children that are born into homes, they're born into homes where the families, where they're literally raised at home by themselves, by the TV, while mom and dad working, not to make ends meet, but so they can have more money to have more things. I understand in times, there are times we have to work to make ends meet. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm talking about is the majority of our nation, the only reason they want more money is so they can have more things. And children and families and homes are dying and at stake. I'm reminded of the man in Luke chapter 12 where he looked at all the blessings God had given him in his crops. And you know what he did? He built bigger barns to store those blessings rather than take them and use them to be a blessing to others. And the sad thing about it is, he didn't even have another sunrise to live. He built his barns and stored his blessings, but he didn't even live to enjoy them. We're living in a nation that lusts for possessions, that lusts for pleasures. Listen, I've said it before, I'll tell you again. What's most important today in America is not what makes us holy, but what makes us happy. We're no longer asking the question anymore in America, is it right or is it wrong? The question we ask is, will it make me happy? The code of conduct in America today is simply this: if it feels good, do it. And this lust for pleasure is literally destroying homes and families and lives. We seek it in a bottle. We seek it in drugs. We seek it in partying. We seek it in the pleasures of this world and this life. I sat in my office this week with a 29-year-old whose life has literally been destroyed by drugs, by alcohol, and by sexual relationships that are not blessed and ordained of God. And I literally wept with her over the fact of her need of a Savior, and only He can make a difference in her life. And folks, this morning in America today, many are in that same sad shape and condition today. They're living for the next party. They're living for the next high. They're living for the next outing. They're living for the next game. They're living for the next this or that. And folks, it is literally destroying the life and the heart and the soul of our nation. We're living in a nation today. It's sad to say we're living in a community when the mascot of our baseball team in Charleston can mock the faith of men like Tebow. Yeah, our team did that. And we're living in a nation today where professional football players can refuse to stand for the Star Spangled Banner. And they still get to play because they're so good at it. You know why? We're more concerned about the pleasure and the money we can make than whether something's right or wrong and whether or not we're holy people. You see, God brings judgment upon a nation when it becomes pleasure mad. And that's where we're at today. It's all about the next high. It's all about the next pleasure. It's all about the next thing we can do to have fun. And we fail to ask the first question. Is it right? Does it bring glory and honor to God? See, we not only lust for pleasure, we lust for perversion. As I said, our children are murdered. They're aborted. They're abandoned. They're abused. Because of our lust of perversion, the home and the marriage is being perverted. We're redefining it. We're sanctioning homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism. And we're championing all that. What used to be hidden in the closet is now paraded down the street and pumped into our living rooms through our home entertainment center. The singles want to live like they're married and have sex. And the married want to live like they're single with no commitment and no consecration and commitment to their vows before God or their spouse. We want to be happy, but we don't care whether we're holy. That's what I call wild grapes. That's what God calls wild grapes. Now finally, let's see this song. It moves from being a song about the works of God's grace to being a song about the wrath of God. Why? Because of wild grapes instead of good grapes that were produced. Now we see in verses 5 and 6, because of these wild grapes, the wrath of God is proclaimed. And I believe, folks, it's the same sad song that can be sung of America today. A song that goes from the joy of the works of God's grace to the horrors of God's judgment and His wrath. Signs are all around us today. In fact, Isaiah sang about it. Here's what the man did with his vineyard. Here's how he responded. He removed the protection, and therefore he released the punishment. That's exactly what God has done with this nation, what he did with Israel. Look in verse 5. He says, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down." See, that's the first thing he did. He removed that protection. That's what he did for Israel. That's what he has done in America today. That hedge of protection, that wall of God's word and obedience and blessing that comes from obedience to God's word, it has been removed. See, we quit listening to God. It's not that God quit speaking. We just quit listening as a nation. We listen to men like Sigmund Freud. We listen to men like Karl Marx and Charles Darwin and Friedrich Nietzsche, whatever how you say his name. See, Freud told us our problem was sexual dysfunction. And Marx filled us with socialistic ideas and philosophies. And Darwin gave us the theory of evolution that our scientists have swallowed hook, line, and sinker. And Nietzsche has told us God is dead. And you know what that led us to as a nation? We become a nation preoccupied with sex, devoid of ambition, enamored with self-preservation, and no longer have any meaning or purpose in our lives. Because we listened to what men said rather than listening to what God has said. And that hedge of protection has been removed. Folks, when our Supreme Court outlawed Bible in schools, when in 1962 it said our students could no longer pray this simple prayer, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee and beg Thy blessing upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. When our nation decided we no longer need God's Word and we're no longer going to call upon God in prayer in our schools, guess what? God was removing the hedge of protection. And where are we now, decades later? We're living in a nation that is led for the most part by leaders who've come up in a school system where they were never taught the Bible. They were never taught right and wrong. They were never encouraged to pray and seek God for His blessings. Therefore, they're not doing it now either. And the hedge of protection has been removed, and the punishment has been released. Verse 6, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. See, punishment is released. All kinds of devastation is described in this vineyard. Things in which we are experiencing today in our nation, the wickedness, the violence, the immorality that we're literally drowning in, the war that we're fighting on terror. Not a specific country, but could be anybody in the same auditorium with us, on the same highway with us, in the same city with us. It could be anybody around us. And we're living in days and times of natural disasters where storms and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes are sweeping this nation and wrecking it like never before. See, we could go on in Isaiah 5 and you could hear talk of bodies lying in the streets of the nation of Israel. Seen any bodies lying in the streets of America? We could go on where it says God will whistle for the enemies to come and to devastate, and we're living in a day and time of terrorism where we don't know who or what could happen to us. Folks, I want you to understand this morning, these things that we're experiencing as a nation today, the economic crisis, the health care crisis, the devastation, the immorality that we're drowning in, all of these things, folks, that's what God's Word says happens to a nation that forsakes the Word of God. It's what happens to a nation that turns from the true God to idols. It's what happens. Protection is removed. Punishment is released. Basically, God just says, have it your way. Because having it your way will destroy you. The judgment is wrapped up in the sin that we so lust and long for. The judgment is wrapped up in it. And yet we continue as a nation to head towards it. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah His pleasant plant. And He looked for judgment, for justice. But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold a cry. See, it was a sad song that Isaiah was singing about the great nation of Israel. It was a song about God's works of grace that planted them. But the wild grapes that were produced and the wrath of God that was being proclaimed to them. And as God looked, He looked for judgment, for justice, but He didn't find it. He found oppression. He looked for righteousness, for godliness, but all He found was cries of despair. It's a sad song. And Israel experienced judgment and captivity. But folks, by the grace of God, you know, Israel still exists today as a nation. In fact, the Word of God tells us there is a happy ending for this great nation. We studied it in Romans. God's not through with Israel. Christ is going to rule and reign. And Israel is going to be the nation through which the kingdoms of this world come to worship God on the throne. Oh, it has a happy ending. But what about America? What about our song? What about this sad song? As far as I know, I can't find anywhere in God's Word where there's any specific, certain prophecy that states we're here in the last days and the end times. See, none of that. But yet I believe there's still hope for America. This sad song can still have a happy ending. It comes to us through the hope of the gospel. It comes to us for the grace of God that as God looks upon a nation, He's looking for justice and all He sees is oppression. He's looking for righteousness and all He sees or hears is cries of despair. See, there's hope if out of the midst of this nation there would rise to God in heaven cries of repentance, cries of hope, cries of claiming Christ in the gospel and returning to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 said. That applied to Israel, and I believe it applies to us today through the gospel, through the good news. The hope of America today is in we being the salt and light, returning to God. See, I can only see two things that can happen at this point in time in the history of this nation in these coming days. I see there's only two things that can happen that will give us a happy ending. First of all, rapture. Or revival. Now, personally, I'm good with both of those. I mean, rapture, that sounds good. The only thing is, I got family and neighbors that won't be going with me. So I would think maybe revival would be a better one. That maybe if repentance and renewal and turning to God in our hearts and homes could bring forth a revival and a stay of God's grace and mercy upon us and returning us to a place of blessing, that we might experience what I've read about in times past through the first and the second great awakenings, where people start flocking to the house of God, where they start hungering for the thirst of God, for the Word of God, where they quit going to the bars, where they quit buying the drugs, where these businesses shut down because there's no one to buy. I mean, I'd love to see that. I'd love to experience that. Because you know what? I'm getting up there in years, and one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come, I'm going to leave this world by way of death. But you know what? I'd love to leave it knowing that my children, my grandchildren, were living in a nation that was free and blessed of God and able to worship God. I'd love to leave it knowing that. So will there be a happy ending to this song? I don't know. I think it has to do with what happens right now in our hearts as God's people. And not just right here, but everywhere God's people are gathered to worship today. See, I want to tell you something. I want to startle you this morning. The hope of America is not in the White House. And I want to make a further statement that's even more startling. It's not even in God's house. It's in my house, in your house. When hearts get right, homes get right. When homes get right, cities, communities, churches, and nations get right. See, that's how God saves a nation. One person at a time. One home at a time. And it can begin this morning. See, we as God's people, we need to call out and cry out repentance. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's never trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a happy ending for all those who repent and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God grant this sad song have a happy ending. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the blessings of God upon this nation and upon this people. God, thank You for reminding us of the faith of our founding fathers and of the blessing of Your Word this morning. Now, Father, help us to heed Your Word and the ministry of Your Spirit in our lives. Lord, that we would repent and return to You where it's needful and necessary in our lives. Father, expose those wild grapes in our lives so that we individually can return and be back in fellowship with You and allow Your grace to enable us to produce fruits of righteousness that bring glory and honor to You. Lord, allow that to occur in our nation today. And Father, again, if there's someone here this morning that's lost, may today be the day that they come to know You. They experience that saving grace. And Lord, as we enter into this week and as we celebrate our nation's birth, Lord, may it mark the rebirth of our nation as we repent and return to You. God, would You send revival and bring a spiritual awakening, Lord, in these days, that our children and our grandchildren might know and experience the joys and blessings and freedoms that You have granted us for so long in our lives. We ask You all these things, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, if you want to come to this altar and pray for our nation, you come. If you need to pray for your home, your family, if you need to give your life to Christ, whatever the Spirit of God is impressing upon your heart this morning, won't you come this morning?